You're listening to a Day1.fm show.
Pick My Brain is the podcast where founders pitch me their startup and I try to give them some useful advice so they can connect better with potential co-founders, investors, media, and of course, customers. My name's Alan Jones and I was a founder myself for about 15 years, and after that an angel investor for another 15 years, so yeah, old. Some of my ventures have been successful and some failed disastrously, but I like to think I've learned a thing or two along the way, and maybe some of that can help you. So if you'd like to learn how to tweak your pitch, subscribe to the Pick My Brain show now, wherever you like to listen to podcasts.
Welcome to FinTech Fun. FinTech Fun is a podcast where Australian fintechs come to share their stories.
Hi, it's Chris Titley, and as part of the FinTech Fun podcast series, I'm joined by Tim Poskett, country manager, ANZ of Investnet Yodlee. Tim, thanks so much for being part of this series.
Hi, Chris. Thanks to be here, and great work on the many podcasts listened to. Fantastic work.
Thank you. Thank you, Tim. Now, the last time we caught up was at the Intersect Festival, where there's lots of fintechs in the room getting together, and you're a little bit jet-lagged, I seem to recall. What was you'd been overseas?
Yes, I had. It was good to certainly good to be back at Intersect, and I think everyone can say it was the amount of energy in the room, and I think, you know, everyone was post-lockdown is certainly, you know, looking for another great fintech event. And I'm even speaking to Rehan, I think the event was oversubscribed. So, yeah, it was a really good week and catching up with a lot of people and some fantastic conversations. Yeah, and before that, luckily I managed to get a couple of weeks in Europe. So jet lag, but don't feel too bad for me.
No, excellent. And lots of fintechs collaborating under one roof. I see your team is also very, very present. What's happening at the moment in fintech? And can you tell us a little bit about what your company is up to and what you're seeing?
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, we had a full team down there, and it was a really, as I mentioned, really valuable week. So for people who don't know who I am and the company, Investnet Yodlee. So Investnet Yodlee is a leader in global data aggregation and open banking. We've been operating in Australia and New Zealand over 12 years now. So we were one of the first data aggregators operating in a non-CDR environment within Australia, and we're fully licensed now under fully open banking. We have our first couple of clients live under open banking, which you would have seen. Both WeMoney and Lumiant have recently been announced, and we've got a couple more that we're very excited to announce in the coming weeks. So what is hot for us at the moment? I mean, it's definitely all open banking and open finance related. You know, we're very excited about some of the revised rulings through the ACCC and through Treasury. We will participate when permissible under the, you know, broader open finance regime, and we're looking at a number of additional products and services right now, and then some of the use cases we've also seen out of Europe and the US around broader open finance. But more broadly, I think we're seeing a lot of really exciting Australian fintechs that go all the way from wealth tech, prop tech, ed tech, financial wellness, who are looking to access open banking data, but globally. So we're really well placed and helping a number of exciting organizations who are wanting to take their organizations overseas, or they may be overseas already, and how we can power them in a non, for example, Australian geographical sense, where they're looking to go into Singapore, or they're looking to go in South Africa, or the US or Canada. So open banking in Australia, I think, is our fourth open banking regime globally. So we're working very closely with the government in the UK, in the US and in Canada. So we're very familiar with open banking rollouts, and its complexity, it's sort of contained within that. But ultimately, very exciting time at the moment.
And Tim, you mentioned open banking it's very strong and prominent in terms of use cases and application use. I think I interviewed you in a past life, probably closer to sort of July 1, 2020, when open banking sort of became a thing. But if you sort of ask people on the street what open banking is, they sort of do a bit of a shrug still because it's not mainstream adoption. Do you want to give the listeners a little bit of a 101 on why you're excited about it?
Yeah, sure. And you're right in the sense of, you know, the average consumer on the street, what do they know about open banking and how ultimately is it going to benefit them? Ultimately, the art and the concept of open banking and open finance is to allow the individual on the street, both Tim Poskett and Chris Titley, to be able to have a better financial life ultimately, and to provide them with a better opportunities for products and services, be that be mortgages, be it personal loans, be it credit cards, to ultimately have exposure to a broader set of solutions that are available to them. Australia is unique in the sense of it has, you know, the some of the largest banks in the world that ultimately have, you know, over 80% of the retail deposit market in Australia. And clearly, you know, that brand loyalty of the big four bank in Australia is continuing to, you know, to be shown. So ultimately, it's about providing the consumer access to their own data that they can have better insights off their own transactional data. And what does that mean? It's, you know, Tim is spending X amount of money on fuel and petrol on a weekly basis, or Chris is spending, you know, over amount of money on his credit card bill each month. And that could be capitalized by if he was using that data in a better way. And, you know, a great example of this is the financial wellness platform WeMoney, where, you know, we were their first data provider in Australia, and they're using open banking data exclusively to ultimately to help better consumers to get more financial products that meet their profile in risk profile, but also their appetite. So it's ultimately helping the consumer have better solutions available to them.
And Tim, we've gone through this global health pandemic over the last couple of years, and there's been a bit of a structural change when it comes to fintechs broadly speaking, with different products like Buy Now, Pay Later, and then now probably with so many interest rate rises, even another one today, that there's a big focus on sort of personal financial management and one's budgeting and one's balance sheet and their sort of investment apps. Are you partnering with some of these fintechs that are coming up with some of these ideas to try and better the consumer? And again, how do you kind of switch that into what you guys are really good at in terms of open banking and really putting the plugs in place?
Yeah, 100%. I mean, yes, you're right. We have a 25% base rate increase today. I think we were forecast 60%, 50 basis points. So with it, I think it's the sixth consecutive.
Slightly better off than someone had hoped, so I'd imagine. Yeah. I think the share market ticked up nicely. But I think there was one sole CBA analyst that said 25 basis points seems to be quite happy today that he got it right.
Yeah, so 100% right. So I think, you know, very much checking our accounts now, checking what our mortgage rate is, checking what our mortgage rate's going to go to, what does that impact, you know, disposable income, what does that impact on our, you know, monthly allowance, what can we then do? And it's becoming, you know, even more so. We know, you know, the rate of inflation is, if I'm not mistaken, approaching circa 9% now in Australia, whilst it's not as high as the mid-teens in some parts of Europe, but it certainly is. So people are feeling the pinch, for a better word, now more than ever. And I think ultimately that is, in people are having a better checking of their financial position. So there are a number of solutions, you know, in the market that are A, from a financial wellness perspective, but B, from a wealth tech, wealth, you know, invested in your wealth planning that we've been powering with. You know, there's the likes of Finder, who have a really good tool, and they have a lot of focus around crypto technologies as well. There's also, you know, one of the leading banks, Ubank, who have a great feature that allows you to bring in your non-Ubank data, Formula 86 400, into that particular space, that gives you a one single point of view in your financial position. And they're really trying to do things differently now, and I think really trying to bring in some of the additional data sets that they haven't done before. And they're just examples of a couple of organizations that we've been working with now for a number of years. But then also, you know, most recently the likes of Lumion, Inran, regards to financial planning and having a better technology around this. And I think this will be even more so, and we're seeing going forward. And also, you know, one thing that we're doing as we try to look around the broader financial ecosystem is about how not only can we provide organizations data to be able to make decisions, but actually how can we help organizations with being able to embed financial services tools into their solutions. So with the growth of embedded finance and also the additional solutions around there about how they can have better savings plans and savings for gold, then ultimately it's this huge amount of areas of growth that we're seeing in the market currently.
Yeah, no, just on that embedded finance, it's interesting, or sort of, you know, even a buzzword as banking as a service a couple of years ago when I was probably interviewing you or first met you, was kind of a buzzword. I think Walmart had just launched their banking as a service. I think Afterpay had just launched theirs. But it seems to have fizzled a little bit in terms of non-financial service providers providing banking services. Keen to know your thoughts on that sector, and also, I suppose, you know, you mentioned about the Big Four trust. That seems to have been a bit stronger in the last couple of years.
Yeah, I think so. And I think ultimately some of the barriers to entries for potential neobanks and beyond has been extremely high. So I think you've only just got to pick up the financial press and look at, you know, some of the challenges for neobanks. I think there was some news overnight with Bank North in the UK. It was attacking the...
Oh, yes, in Manchester.
Yep, which I know very well, and I went to University of Manchester, so I spent many times there. And ultimately, the cost of capital and the barriers to entries of a both consumer but also SME banks, where, you know, it's proved extremely hard. And, you know, there's been lots of, I think, you know, well-documented press what's happened not only in Australia with the likes of, you know, Vault and beyond, but I think it's also well seen if you look at what's happening in the UK and in the US in terms of neobanks and their some strong challenges that they've had in terms of putting new solutions into market, and ultimately the cost of capital. We have obviously Revolut, who have done extremely well globally and have built a fantastic footprint, especially across APAC as well, and they're looking at obviously going into Australia now and have a number of solutions. But I think the barriers to entries for some of these you know, challenger banks, neobanks, has been seen, and ultimately the opportunity if I'm a non-financial services organization to have an embedded finance feature in that still prevails today. And that may be, you know, that service can be everything broad. Is it a credit card facility? Is it just purely a retail account that can connect to a particular feature? Is it connecting it to a Woolworths reward platform? You know, think about all the parts of the financial journey that exist today, and where do we, you know, touch money, move money, that exists, that the opportunity of embedding financial service into that is huge. And I think whilst the trust and the brand loyalty with some of the Big Four, as you say, is very strong, and that has potentially hindered some of the potential neobanks, I think the growth of embedded finance and, as you rightly said, banking as a service is I think, definitely a growth market to come. And yep. We're seeing that a lot across Singapore as well. I know the InvestNet Yodlee team are heading up to Singapore soon for the Singapore FinTech Festival, and I know that's huge. We've had many, many conversations around that at the moment.
Yeah, the Singapore, I think there's also the one in the US, the Money 2020 festival coming up in a few weeks' time, so it's all happening. One final question before we sort of start talking about you a little bit, Tim, so get ready. Why are you excited about being the country manager of InvestNet Yodlee at the moment, and why are you excited about Australian FinTech?
Yeah, thanks, Chris. I think, you know, two parts of that question. I mean, why am I excited about the role And I think why am I expanded by the ecosystem? I think in terms of the platform that we have today and the capabilities that comes with it and our global reach, we're really well placed to take fintechs who are an Aussie-born fintech organization who wants to go global and wants to have the best in class, the most secure API is available with over, you know, an organization with over 20 years experience doing this. We are, you know, well placed. And then with our some of our broader embedded finance features now, not only are we also just providing connectivity to data, but we're also providing some really good new exciting features to help organizations with that part of the journey, which we find extremely exciting. And in the ecosystem, I think, you know, it's the year started off probably very different to where we are now, and we're sat here in October. I think the ecosystem is booming, whilst the VC taps have dried up a bit, and I think there's lots of organizations who are looking that they will invest, but I think obviously some valuations have dropped somewhat where they were months back. I think the growth of the segment has played very well, even if you think about COVID and our inability to travel both in and out of the region. I think the growth of the segment has seen that, and I think you would have just seen that intersect with, you know, some of the exciting new use cases, looking at, you know, the great stuff people like Maneuver are doing on Pay2, and looking at some of the really other exciting payments organizations and embedded finance organizations as well. I think you can just see them doing that, and, you know, the likes of the former guys done at Hay and Shape and some exciting stuff they're doing. I think you can still see huge success stories and growth in the market, and that's why we're really excited to, you know, we've been powering some of these organizations for a long period of time, and, you know, it's certainly another growth part of the segment for us.
Mm, no, absolutely. Excellent, Tim. When you're not talking about payments and embedded finance and banking as a service and all the things that open banking, et cetera, that we've discussed, when you want to switch off, when you have some downtime, mate, what do you get up to?
Yeah, great. We love to travel. So me and my partner travel quite a lot when we can. We spend quite a lot of time out of Sydney when possible in the Blue Mountains area. So spend quite a lot of time up there in the Blue Mountains hiking and switching off. And then also a huge fan of open water swimming and all stuff. So we are trying to pick up our open water swimming in time for the season to get an entry into a few races. So
So what? Where do you enjoy open water swimming?
Or generally any parts of the Sydney Harbour that's not too sharky. So which is you probably get less people in the ocean than you did 9 months ago. But generally anywhere harbour, eastern suburb side, or even.
And you're talking about being competitive. You're a competitive swimmer, or is it a casual swimmer?
I'm British, as you can tell probably by the accent. So I'm certainly I struggle to keep up with the locals. So I do well against fellow Brits, but against certainly not that quick. I certainly won't be.
Is there a segregated competition? Is there?
Well, I wish there was. I might finish a bit better, but unfortunately not.
Excellent. And in terms of an ideal travel destination, if you had an open checkbook and open time, where would you disappear to?
Oh, it's funny you say that. I've never actually ever been to, but my partner has just booked a holiday actually to, and I've never been. I don't know a huge amount about it, but it's very exciting and slightly untouched, is Vanuatu. So got a trip to Vanuatu, which is coming up very soon. So I think they haven't had a huge amount of travel post COVID and lockdowns, etc. So I think it'll be interesting, to travel there and see another part of the world.
Oh, mate, absolutely, for sure. Mightn't get a huge amount of work done there. Hopefully not, and relax and work on Vanuatu time, mate. Thanks so much, Tim, for coming and having a chat to us about what Investnet Yodlee are doing in the space here in Australia. A very important role that they play, and obviously a number of well-known, prominent fintech clients that use your product. Congratulations on what you've achieved in your role thus far, and wish you all the best, and look forward to catching up.
Thanks, Chris, and thanks for all the work you do, I suppose, the ecosystem as well. It's certainly very noticed. So, thanks to yourself as well. Thanks for your time.
For more information on Sub11, jump onto our LinkedIn or email me, chris@sub11.com.au. Thanks for listening.
Listen to the Unfunded podcast brought to you by the Day One Network and hosted by me, tech writer Joan Westenberg. We're sharing the no-holds-barred, untold stories from entrepreneurs who have decided to build a business on their terms. I'll be interviewing successful founders and operators on the grit and ingenuity it takes to build and scale independent startups without the support of traditional venture capital funding. Subscribe to the Unfunded podcast now, wherever you get your podcasts.